Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio. Stone, and we got a full house today.
We most certainly do. I love it when we get Monday started off with such a full complement of bright, passionate people. This is going to be a fantastic segment. A little bit later in the program, we're going to get a chance to visit with the executive director for Georgia Forward, Ms. Chris Vaughn, and Josh Stevens. He's with the Georgia Department of Economic Development. But first up on Atlanta Business Radio this morning, it is my distinct pleasure to join me in welcoming the district director of the U.S. Small Business Administration, Ms. Terry Dennison. How are you?
I'm great.
So anything exciting happening over at the SBA?
Yes, there's always something exciting going on at SBA. But one of the most recent developments is our work with our Small Business Innovation Research Program. Mm-hmm. We've actually established a series of online trainings to encourage small businesses that are in the research and development technology innovation space to invite them through education to participate in that program, the Small Business Innovation Research Program.
So now it's an online venture? They can...
Well, they can actually learn more about it.
Online?
Yes. That from feedback we have received across the nation, that was one of the big things. It's like, unless you could come to one of our events,
right,
posted around the country, there really wasn't a nice, concise way.
Like a path.
Right, to get the information and to understand the process of submitting a proposal and how that whole process works.
So can you share a little bit about that process?
Well, basically, the Small Business Innovation Research Program has been around since the early 80s, and it was created to give small businesses an opportunity to be able to take advantage of the opportunities in research and development that was conducted by the federal government. Mm-hmm.
And there's quite a bit going on.
Yes, right? There is.
There's a lot of opportunity if that business kind of opens its mind up to pursue that, right?
Yes. There are actually 11 federal agencies that are specifically designated to participate in the program that have opportunities in a variety of areas as it relates to research and development. The biggest, of course, is the Department of Defense, but we also have civilian agencies as well, mm-hmm, such as Department of Energy, EPA, Department of Education, USDA.
So now when the SBA says small business, it may not be pictured, the small business may not think that they're small, right? Like, how do you define small business?
For the SBIR program, it's a business that's organized, it's an entity that's organized for profit, mm-hmm, that has fewer than 500 employees.
So a lot of people think small businesses, two employees or five, but yours goes up to 500?
Yes.
All right. So you've been at this a while. Have you started measuring impact, either anecdotally or with some hard numbers? What kind of impact is this having?
Well, in terms of the program itself, since its inception in 83 here in Georgia, which I'm sure everyone is always interested in what's happening at home.
Absolutely.
With these programs, there has been a total of $464.4 million awarded to small businesses to develop ideas, concepts, and prepare them for possible commercialization through the program.
Did you see the economic development guy smile when she said that? That's got to be good news. Wow. I mean, that strikes me as a big number. You got to be pretty excited about that.
I am excited, and we are moving in the right direction. For example, the figure I just cited was since inception in 83. In the last 5 years, fiscal year 2011 through 2015, we've had about 156.1 million.
Wow.
So about a fourth of that number has occurred in the last 5 years.
Why do you think that is?
Well, I think because, one, we're trying to get the word out more, but I think we have all the great infrastructure here in Georgia to make this work. Mm-hmm. We have great institutions of higher learning, such as Georgia Tech, University of Georgia, Emory, and even smaller institutions of higher learning. And that's really kind of the core nucleus, mm-hmm, for the type of people who are innovators, entrepreneurial, that would be a good fit for this program.
So now, if you if there's a company out there that's listening, how would you persuade them to at least go online to get more information about this program?
Actually, we have collaborated with the participating agencies to create a specific website, and that's sbir.gov.
Uh-huh.
And there they can see, one, get more information on how the program works, the application process, the agencies that are involved, and the opportunities that they have in terms of their needs for research and development.
So are you allowed to talk about any of the companies that have been through the process and maybe share a couple
success stories? Maybe?
Yeah. Okay.
Well, one that does come to mind is a more recent success story, and that's a company by the name of Zerobotics, and it's actually based here in Atlanta. A professor over at Georgia Tech founded the company back in 2013. I believe she's also been a client of the ATDC, Advanced Technology Development Center, which is housed at Georgia Tech. She founded the company in 2013. In 2015, she received what we call a phase one or initial funding from the SBIR program to develop a particular technology. Of course, I'm not a geek, so this is in layman's terms. But basically, it's an invention called Tab Access, which uses Bluetooth technology to allow individuals with mobility or challenges to be able to learn through using a tablet or an iPad without being able to touch or not having to touch keys.
Oh, wow.
So if they have challenges that prevent them from being able to manually manipulate keys on these platforms, the technology helps bridge the gap.
All right. So what was the process like? This person at some point learned about this, started getting some information, and then they sat down with some people in the program. Talk to us a little bit about the nuts and bolts of the process, if you can.
Okay. Now, I don't know all the particulars, but I do know that Georgia Tech has historically been very involved with the SBIR program.
That's great.
And so I'm thinking, since this person was a professor, that, you know, she was tied in. But you submit an application for a phase one. And basically what you have to do is find an agency that is doing work, similar work to what you're involved in.
Right.
So it's not kind of a wish list, oh, I'm working on this and I'm with the federal government to
fund it. You can't say like, hey, I got a great idea here, find somebody in there.
Right.
You got to kind of work the other way. Right.
Right. It's a win-win. So
right.
If you happen to be in a particular arena doing research, and there's a federal agency doing similar research or have need for similar research, then you come together through the SBIR program.
Right, but the company has to kind of find that government program.
Exactly.
And then introduce itself to them through this.
Yes. And the great thing about SBIR.gov is that you can see a listing of all the agencies' wants, if you will, in terms of solicitations for proposals, mm-hmm. areas specifically that they're working in. And you can say, oh, okay, I'm working on something
that's
similar.
A match, or at least close, so you can reach out to them maybe and have that.
Or you can change your mind about what you want to work on.
Right.
You say, well, you know, I haven't been thinking about that, but boy, do we have the resources and the energy here at our organization to do. What a fantastic
resource. True. So the phase one is basically up to $150,000, and it's to really give about 6 months of support to give that entrepreneur a chance to really kind of pin down the concept.
Right, to flesh it out more, right?
Yes. If they're successful with that, there's then a follow-on phase two, which can go up to, almost $1 million.
Wow.
And that's to really expand upon what you built in the first phase and to look towards commercialization of that technology or technique, whatever you're developing.
Right. Now, for a company that's never worked with the government before, is it really complicated to go through this process?
I guess complicated is a relative term.
Right.
And that's one reason why we came to the realization we need to have something more methodically laid out.
Right.
That people can access. And that's where the tutorials for the SBIR program. It really not only explains the program itself, but it actually walks you through what is a good proposal. How do I find the right fit as far as an agency that's mm-hmm. doing similar work. So all the things that people tend to have a question or hesitation about, that's
you're what, trying to answer those up front.
We're trying to answer those up front. And what's really great is that the tutorials can be accessed on a variety of platforms. Mm-hmm. So it's designed for mobile access as well as desktop access.
But you believe that a company can do this on their own, or is this something that they have to hire a consultant to help them get through the process?
It depends. Of course, there are other resources that can help them through that. Mm-hmm.
Are there government resources, or it's always third party?
Well, actually, the agencies, a lot of times the agencies that are participating have resources mm-hmm. dedicated towards assisting potential applicants, because they would like to see
sure.
that happen, of course. People, of course, are always free to go to a third-party consultant.
But it's not necessary.
But it's not necessary.
Right.
It's a matter of you take the time to educate yourself,
right.
Take advantage of the resources that are out there, be it the SBA or one of the participating agencies. A lot of your questions can be addressed.
Right.
And also, you can access through SBAIR.gov entities that have already received.
Oh, so you
grants?
Can talk to them.
Oh, so you
nice.
Can talk to them as well.
Right. Right.
So what is your backstory? How did you get involved in this line of work? Have you always been in this arena?
Pretty much. I've been with SBA since 1987.
Oh, wow.
Started out in Washington, D.C., and I've worked in several places around the country mm-hmm. With the agency. I always had an interest in like city planning, economic development, and was going to be a planner in a Texas city when I got out of grad school. Didn't quite work out that way. Opportunity for SBA. I said, I could do that for a few years, and then I'll go back to Texas and be a planner. And didn't quite work out that way, but it's been a great ride.
What's the most rewarding part for you?
I think the most rewarding part for me is to see a business that maybe you that attended a workshop or you had a one-on-one consultation or conversation with kind of in the early stages, and you see them progress over time. So mm-hmm. now it's like, wow, you don't really necessarily need us anymore. I find that very rewarding.
So you've seen that happen throughout your career?
Yes, I have.
Wow.
That must be incredibly rewarding work. What does a district director do day in, day out? What is a day in the life like for when you're not hanging out just visiting like you are now?
I don't know if there's any, I don't know if the typical day exists, but generally what, I'm either out talking to other agencies that could be state, federal, local, that are in the economic development, business development space to mm-hmm. see how we can leverage our resources to really deliver to the small business community here in Georgia, nonprofits as well who are in that arena. A lot of times it's working with our resource partners. We support a lot of entities to provide consultation services and support, such as the University of Georgia Small Business Development Center.
Right.
SCORE, which is our volunteer partner. We have a couple of women business centers here in Metro Atlanta. So interfacing with them. And then just kind of overseeing the operations of the Georgia District Office in terms of our outreach and getting the word out about what we do.
Now, some of what you do is to serve underserved markets as well, right? So underserved groups that to get them kickstarted into entrepreneurial world or the business world?
Yes. Of course, our mission first and foremost is small business as a
right.
whole. But within that, what we try to do is make sure that we're reaching all the various aspects of the small business community. So there are groups that have been historically underserved, minority-owned business, women-owned businesses.
Do you do any work with veterans?
Yes, we do a lot of work with veterans. In fact, we have a veterans affairs representative on our staff.
Mm-hmm.
And a few months ago in Georgia, we got our first Veterans Business Opportunity Center.
What is that?
In Statesboro.
What is that?
Basically, they provide a free one-on-one consultation, training services, and they target the veteran population or those who are getting ready to process out of service.
To give them a path.
Yes.
Right. Wow, that's fantastic.
So where can our listeners go to learn more?
They can always go to www.sba.gov. That's the official website of the U.S. Small Business Administration. And if they put a /GA after that, it will take them to the Georgia District Office website, and they can see all things SBA within the state of Georgia.
And then it's SBIR. SBIR.gov is that website.
Correct, for the SBIR program.
Well, it's been an absolute delight having you in the studio this morning. And I think we need to make a regular practice of this. I think there's some wisdom in having you or someone on your team come in and kind of get us updated on the progress and the work that you're doing. I'm particularly impressed with and encouraged by, it seems like you have learned to play very well with these other agencies. That's where a lot of your time and energy is invested, is in collaborating with these other agencies. And I wonder if there's not some real merit in from periodically you and maybe someone from another agency coming in, talking about how you're working together. Because I think our listeners want to hear that. And I think it might be helpful in you getting the word out. Does that seem like an idea that has some legs?
Yeah, be glad to do that.
All right. Hey, listen, can you hang out with us while we visit our next guest?
Yes, I'm really excited to hear about
him. All right. Next up on Atlanta Business Radio, please join me in welcoming Executive Director with Georgia Forward, Miss Chris Vaughn. Good morning, Sunshine.
Good morning.
So did you learn anything in that last segment?
Absolutely. We are excited to know that Georgia has such great partners with the SBA program here and everything that they're doing throughout the state.
Can you share a little bit about what you're doing for folks at Georgia Forward?
Absolutely. Georgia Forward is a nonprofit, nonpartisan, statewide organization that works to unite the state through collaborations and partnerships. And our leading program is the Young Game Changers program, and we've just kicked off our fourth program in Augusta. And so Josh Stevens is here with me, and he is a young game changer in this fall program that we've just started.
So you roped him in. Yeah. Nice work.
Absolutely.
Welcome to the show, Josh.
Yeah, he got started on a Thursday, so hit the ground running.
That's right. Good morning.
Good morning. So now, how did you become informed about that program?
You know, I personally have been interested in leadership programs and learning about opportunities for service outside of work. And I learned about the program through seeing that I saw some other economic development professionals were in it in the last class. And I know that Chris and company have two classes a year. So I just got really interested in the opportunity to be a part of the program and leadership and service outside of work, you know, just an excellent opportunity to make a difference with your time and energy outside of what you do on a daily basis. So,
now, Chris, for Georgia Forward, since it's a statewide adventure or adventure, depending on how you look at it, how do you manage that statewide? You know, the state's kind of big.
The state is big. So with Georgia Forward, we got started having forums, two-day conferences where we brought thought leaders from around the state together to share ideas about where is our state going. And We were really setting the ground for conversations about Georgia in 15 and 20 years, envisioning and conversations that are more than just a 4 or 8 year political term and where are we going. And so that was in 2010. And in 2012, our founders said, you know, we are doing a lot of collaborating. We're having a lot of conversations, but what are we doing? Let's do something. So in 2012, they started the Young Game Changers program. It is a leadership action program. So it's more than awareness. It's more than networking, although we raise awareness and we network and it's fun. But really, we take young professionals from all over the state of Georgia and have them focus on one Georgia community for 6 months to solve problems.
Oh, wow.
So we have 4 challenge questions that we work on, that we're working on in Augusta right now. And we've got 50 young professionals between the ages of 24 and 40.
And they're all around the
state. And they're from all around the state.
And they're working on this Augusta project.
That's right.
And now you know where the line is for young, 40.
40.
So of the 50 participants we have, roughly 1/3 of the class is from the Augusta area, which is very strategic. We always want to have people from the local community where we're working.
The boots on the ground right
Absolutely.
There.
Absolutely. And we are working shoulder to shoulder with the people in the community. We're not coming in to tell them what they're doing right or wrong. You know, we're there to work with them. 1/3 of the participants are from the metro Atlanta area, and 1/3 are from greater Georgia. And so we do a lot of work with our greater Georgia people to make sure that that's really representative of the state. So this year we have participants from Savannah, Macon, Cairo, Georgia, which is very southwest Georgia, and really all over Athens and other places. We have the city manager of McRae, Georgia, in there too. So we're really excited about that.
So how does a program get off the ground, what happens first? You go out and visit and try to describe the opportunity to them? Or?
Well, we're in our fourth Young Game Changer program now, and right. we have over 100 alumni. So you ask how we reach people all around the state. And as an organization of one, I've leaned very heavily on our alumni network. Mm-hmm. I will say, though, that Georgia Forward is being incubated by Central Atlanta Progress, which I'm sure that you're familiar with that yeah. organization. And the CAP president, A.J. Robinson, is the Georgia Forward board chair. And we have a great board of 13 strong from around the state that really help guide us. But I lean very heavily, not only on the board, but also on the alumni to help us get the get the word out and get applicants, that kind of thing. So
What qualifications does an applicant need? Like, what's a typical applicant? Who are they?
We look for people that have shown leadership skills and have a passion for giving back. This is not to be something just to add to your resume. This really is roll up your sleeves and do some work that's going to affect our community. Because at the end of the day, Georgia Forward is about strengthening communities, uniting our state, and creating a talent pipeline within Georgia.
And then, but these people have jobs or out in the workforce? Are they students? Are they?
Well, between the ages of 24 and 40, from anywhere in the state and from any professional background. So that is one of the strengths of the program, is we have people like Josh who work in economic development. We have attorneys. We have bankers. We have, just a wide array of professional backgrounds here. And the more diverse the group, the better the ideas are that come out. So end goal of the program, of what we produce, is we make big idea recommendations for some of that community's most persistent challenges. So we have four challenge questions in Augusta, and we will end up with 12 big ideas, three for each of the four areas. And they will be big, creative, out-of-the-box ideas, but also that are realistic. So that really plays into working with the community and making sure that the ideas that we are presenting are something that could really happen, because we're only as impactful as the recommendations that are implemented.
So let's go back to number one. Were you around for the first?
I was. Actually, I have been with Georgia Forward unofficially since the beginning. I am from Macon, Georgia. I live in Forsyth, Georgia, Monroe County, just north of Macon. And the very first forum was in Macon in 2010. And my previous boss said, I don't know what this is, but it looks really interesting and you should go. So I went to the first forum. Well, they had three after that, and I went to those as well. And I was actually a participant, just like Josh is in the Augusta class. I was a participant in the Americus class. Our first program was in Americus, Sumter County, Georgia, in Southwest Georgia. And so I was in the program. And then after that, our executive director of Georgia Forward went and took another job. We had another executive director just getting on board. Same boss, mentor of mine, Mike Ford, said, you know, this organization's really onto something, and I think you could help them. So I'm going to tell them that I'll loan you to go run the second program. Okay, well, that would be just great. So I ran the second program that was in Dublin, Lawrence County, which is in East Central Georgia.
So did you have to move?
Oh, no. The program, you know, the people live all over the state, so right. we work in that community. And being in Macon, it was 45 minutes down the road. So I ran the program, and there's 5 days over the course of 6 months that you're physically in the community, unless your group does other things too. So I ran the Dublin program. And then last summer, I got a phone call and said, hey, we're getting the band back together. You can come be the lead singer. So I officially joined last August as executive director. And since then, we have had one Game Changer program in Douglasville, Douglas County, which is our first that was in the metro area. And we've taken applications for communities since then, and that's how we got Augusta. So we're in Augusta right now, and we are already working on our 2017 programs.
Have you chosen the community yet for 2017?
We are getting ready to announce that within the next month.
Terry, I got to ask you, does this kind of thing excite you like it does me? I mean,
yes.
This is a pretty invigorating conversation.
It is.
I don't remember this kind of thing being available when I was coming up and struggling in college and looking to become an entrepreneur. But boy, had I come across something like this, I would have wanted to dive in with all fours, I think.
Well, we've seen a lot of success from it. In every community that we've already made recommendations in, the community is moving forward with those recommendations.
I want to dive into that. If we could, you mentioned challenge questions. Yes. I'd be interested to learn more about what some of the specific challenges that you've identified in some of these communities. And I'd like to learn about this challenge questions thing. That sounds like a great way to frame up a almost like a retreat discussion for any organization.
That's right. Well, we do work with a steering committee in the community that we're in. So in Augusta, we've had the opportunity to work with the current mayor, Hardy Davis, the former mayor, Deke Copenhaver, both whom serve on the Georgia Forward Board, Shell Knox-Berry, who's the president of the Community Foundation of the CRSA, and Barry White, who is the president of the Convention and Visitors Bureau there in Augusta. But I'll tell you about some of them and then let Josh tell you about the question he's working on. But the questions, one of them deals with the riverfront that Augusta has there. So with over 12 miles of river frontage, how can Augusta capitalize on its riverfront assets to provide greater accessibility and connectivity to the community as a whole? So a lot of riverfront activation opportunities there in Augusta. Another is, what do you perceive to be Augusta's greatest strengths, and how should the community leverage those strengths to attract millennials to visit or move to Augusta? And another is, with the growth of Fort Gordon, the cyber industry, and Augusta University, how can Augusta address the need for a mixture of housing within Richmond County? So, but one of them that is, I have a background in downtown development. So one that really excites me is, we call it our downtown question, but Josh is in that group, so I'll let him share a little bit more about what they learned and what they're working on and getting started here.
Lay it on us, Josh.
Sure, yeah.
Since you've been around since Thursday, you know, obviously you should be able to speak about this.
Sure, no. Thursday and Friday was really informative. It was more or less the fact-finding. You know, everybody's asking a lot of questions, figuring out what's going on in Augusta. And a lot of the people who are in the group haven't been to Augusta before.
Have you?
I have been there, like many other people, for a certain event in April,
right?
But not necessarily been to downtown and seen a lot of the other assets of Augusta and Richmond County. So this was a good opportunity to see the whole story and learn about the community, as well as what makes what some of the assets are and opportunities are for Augusta. So with that being said, our question is, how does the city of Augusta and the newly renamed Augusta University, formerly Augusta State, and I think several other names as well, but but how can they work together to increase vitality, connectivity, and really a sense of place for the downtown or urban core areas?
Well, we all know the answer to that. We need a Business Radio X studio there. Problem solved.
How about a big golf tournament?
There you go. Yeah. That'll do it.
Yeah. Early April, somewhere in there.
Do it twice a year.
Yeah.
Problem solved. Right?
All right. But no, there is some rigor, some discipline, some methodology to approaching this question. You don't just throw them in a room and say, you know, we'll see you again at 3 o'clock and we want answers, or do you?
No, we don't. So we actually put a lot of work into this opening session. So in Augusta, they're working from now through December to come up with their recommendations. But we start with an opening session, which is what we've just gone through last week, Thursday and Friday. We actually had Mayor Davis with us all day on Thursday, and we had a hop-on, hop-off bus tour where we got to hear, we saw the airport, we saw the Textron, which is the EasyGo. They make EasyGo, like the golf carts. This is just a side note, but 70% of the nation's low-speed vehicles are made in Augusta, Georgia.
How about that?
So, very cool. We got to go see one,
should put that on a plaque or something.
At lunch, we heard from Dr. Keel, the president of Augusta University, and they shared with us their master plan, which they have technically three campuses in Augusta because of the mergers that they've gone through now. And so now is a great time for us to be thinking about how the university and their downtown or their urban core really work together and connect, because having more students downtown, look at Savannah and the SCAD model of how they have their classrooms all over downtown Savannah and what that's really done. Look at Georgia State and downtown Atlanta. You know, Mercer University is doing this in Macon, Georgia right now. So we're really looking at that. But we heard from Dr. Keel at lunch. So it was all about big overview of the county on Thursday. Then on Friday morning, the groups got their challenge questions, and they went on four tours that morning simultaneously based on their challenge question. And so they got to hear from the movers and shakers in the community that have been working on these these areas. And they got to hear what's worked and what hasn't, why hasn't it, what's been successful, what have you seen the challenges, that kind of thing, so that they have a good understanding of the groundwork. Because the game changers aren't here to recommend something that they've already done. So we need to know what they've already done. And yeah. they really need to be big and creative and thoughtful, out of the box. You know, if it was easy, they wouldn't need us to come do it. But we have a lot of communities applying every time we do a call for applications, because
I'll bet you do.
Some of the communities have very specific needs, but a lot of them, you can read our presentations and our recommendations from other communities. You could take that and adapt it to what's going on in your own community. So that's one of the things about Georgia Forward, is about uniting our state. Well, the network that we have of young game changers is huge, but also the communities that they're from, they bring best practices there, but they can also take those back to their own communities.
To use them as kind of thought starters for their own internal Absolutely. Use, right? Mm-hmm. Now, what's it at the end of your engagement with them, what's a high five? Like, what are you high-fiving about?
What are we excited about at the end?
Yeah, so like, you know, the engagement's over. You left mm-hmm. some of these communities. How do you know you did a great job, or how do you know?
Okay, well, I can tell you that in Americus, Georgia, they used our final recommendations as the foundation of a master plan that they did for their downtown with the Georgia Municipal Association and the Carl Vinson Institute at Georgia. Mm-hmm. And in Dublin, if you ever talk to Mayor Phil Best, he will mm-hmm. tell you that they are using our recommendations as a checklist of things to do in their community. One of the big ideas there was to create a river walk. And so a few months after we made the recommendation, City Council had already voted to fund the master plan. That's already been completed. That has been expanded into a downtown streetscape program where the property owners are all footing the bill for what's on their property. Concrete will be going on the ground soon for a river walk. And we also recommended that they bring in an Institute of Higher Learning into their downtown to help with the vibrancy of downtown. And if you remember from a few months back, they renovated the skyscraper building, which is the tallest building in Lawrence County. It's 7 stories tall. And the governor, the skyscraper, the governor
the
sky's came
lower
down.
There.
The governor came down for the lighting of it. And now the first 5 floors of that is Georgia Military College.
So it sounds like universities or colleges are a common thread in a lot of this urban development. Is that accurate?
I would say so. And I know Josh has a lot of experience from all around the state with economic development as well, outside of Game Changers. But I would say that the communities that have universities or institutes of higher learning, that they are working with them, they're seeing a lot of success, because, you know, you've got this great talent of young people. That's why Game Changer was started, because we have A.J. Robinson will tell you, we have a great pool of talented young people within Georgia, and every day they get paid to go solve a problem. And so Georgia has problems. Why can't we turn our young people and turn their focus inward, and let's solve our own problems?
And then you want to keep also those young, smart Georgians in Georgia.
Absolutely.
Right?
Now, Josh, there's a theme with you, because your day job is in the economic development arena. Speak a little bit to that. What's happening in your day job, and what dots are you connecting there and with your work with Chris and crew?
Sure. Yeah. No, we've got several other economic development professionals, both at the state and local level, that are in the program.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say that it is a unique perspective that we get to have, because we do these community familiarization tours all over the state. So we get to see what a lot of communities are doing, what's working, what still has opportunities. But it's a really unique position and perspective to bring to the table, because you really do have a perspective that's unique to a lot of the other members of the group.
Well, I can just imagine, if you're coming in with an enthusiasm level of like a 7.5 and you get in the room with Chris Vaughn, I mean, it's like 12.5. I mean, just your enthusiasm, your vigor is it's inspiring. I feel 10 years younger. Still don't make the 40 line.
If you felt, you know, 15 years younger, maybe they should let you in. So somebody wanted to get involved. What's the best way to reach out?
So in the next few weeks, we will be announcing our spring 2017 program. And at that time, we will open up applications. It'll be a 6-week process of applications. And it's not, applying is not that hard. We want your resume. We want your cover letter. We want to know why you have a passion for solving problems in our state and moving our state forward. But all the information can be found at georgiaforward.org. or on our social media platforms on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook.
And Josh, for economic development, it's always good to give out those coordinates as well. Do you mind?
I'm sorry.
The economic development.
Where do you work, Josh?
Website.
We just want to make sure that our listeners get in touch with that.
Sure. I'm a project manager with the Georgia Department of Economic Development, but any questions or any information you want to get on the state of Georgia is at georgia.org, and you can navigate through the website there.
Good stuff. Well, thank you all for being part of the show today.
Thanks for having us.
This is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton and our producer, Ryan Redhawk McPherson. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio.